the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Well, hi there. Come on in and set a spell, won't you, friends? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten up this summery Saturday. Good morning, Mae. Hey, it's a May month, isn't it?
This is the month of May. Yeah, this is my month, ain't it? Wish I'd had my birthday this month, but mine's in cold weather. Well, anyway, thank you, Fred. I hear lots of nice things about you, Fred. I'll have to save them all up sometime. Good morning, friends, and how are you all this fine morning? Well, we had some rain, thank heaven. I wish we could have some more. Anyway, we shouldn't be blue or discouraged. Open your soul to music, the sunshine and the clouds, the twinkling stars of evening, the grain fields newly plowed. Open your life to others. Let them enjoy your song. And know that in your singing, life is and you belong. Yes, sir, this is a wonderful world, and you have a right to be here. This is your world. I'm glad we're having summer and sunshine now. I love the sun. I guess I'm a sun worshiper, sort of throwback from the ancients. I even despise curtains if they're down too much. I just can hardly stand a curtain down. I'm glad Thomas Edison lit the world so we could all have light. My mother used to go in people's houses and just... Ooh, she'd say, let's have some light and let up their shades. They got used to her. You're used to that. I'd be an awfully poor subject for a blackout in case of a war. I think one of the tragedies of the early pioneer days was the dim tallow candles. And that's all they had, and the women had to work by them and sew by them and everything. And then the little narrow track, pitifully smoking coal oil lamps. My mother used to keep three or four good lamps lit in one room, and the neighbors thought her extravagance was a scandal because she was far from rich. But she said, I love light. I remember she said this, I would rather do without food than have light. And there'll be kerosene in the world 1,000 years after I'm gone, she said. And when it rains, even to this day, I often think of those lines, rain on her grave, and she loved the sun. Now it's no matter. On her low-roofed house, let it beat and run or lightly patter. Rain on her grave, and she loved the sun. Now it's no matter. I don't believe two people ever in this world were more alike than my mother and I and everything. My mother, I, and my mother and me. Now, which is it? Get your English twisted. Yes, I would do without bread for electricity. I'm like the poet who went without bread and bought white hyacinths to feed his soul. How my mother loved to rock and read, rock and read. And speaking of rocking, you know, President Kennedy doesn't really know how much good he's done to the country in a very simple way, and that is popularizing the rocking chair. And his is just a plain rocking chair, not a fancy sort of thing that jiggles and back and forth and doesn't rock. What are they, bass rockers? You know, the doctors, yeah. The doctors for the last 15 years have been begging mothers to go back to rocking their babies, you know. That nothing is better for them. And the thing of it is that it's also good for the mother while she's rocking the baby. Rocking is a wonderful treatment for nerves, the doctors tell you. You know, they have rocking beds now in all the hospitals. Did you know that? How I wish I had one to sleep in. But I understand they cost about $800, so I guess we'll never have one. But they will calm a nervous person when nothing else will. They make the blood flow over the nerves, so they say. Yes, rocking is wonderful. The president has a bad back, you know, and I read that he credits more of its cure to rocking than anything else. Besides, it helps you to think and straightens things out. Perry Mason, famous Ozark poet who now lives with his sweet wife Martha down at Billings, he once wrote a poem about an old rocking chair at a sale. I'm going to read it to you. I love to read poetry. It's good for you. And I find that my listeners for the 20 years I've been on radio love poetry dearly, both men and women. This poem is for sale, a chair. What have we next? The auctioneer bawled out above the din. The farmer said, a rocking chair, in rasping voice and thin. The auctioneer then sat a while and rocked it to and fro. Upon his face he wore a smile. But little did he know what memories he offered there of other days and years when he put up that rocking chair for sale. But I saw tears within a pair of old dim gray eyes there neath the silver hair. Perhaps she thought of rockabies when she was young and fair, that she had crooned to her girls and boys in that far distant day, where life was new and full of joys. Whoever takes away that rocker more than just a seat to use in which to rest, they take a world of dreams replete, if they were but confessed, with happiness and times of pain and anxious hours there, stored up within the saddened brain beneath that silver hair. This poem is from Perry's little book of poems titled Through the Years. And Perry told me he had several of them left for sale, and you can have one by writing to Perry. Perry Mason. That's got to be quite a name now in the movies, isn't it? Perry Mason at Billings, Missouri, are by writing me, and I'll pass the word on to him. I don't know how much they are, but they're not much. Lovely little book. The poems are really fine and on many subjects close to the human heart. Perry is an invalid in his way, you know, and I'd like to do things for Perry if I could. He's fine fella, fine fella. Well, now I'll tell you, here this morning we have with us, and she's going to say a little word to you. Oh, the big wheel horse, you know, Eula Wyman, who pastes the loose stamps in and fixes the books and all. She does everything, and they take them up there and they do everything. Eula, you talk a little dab. Now listen, where is it? Well, what's the matter? We can't get this thing around here. Okay. Well,
we'll make it all right, May. Yeah. We'll get there some way. Good morning, folks. I'm awful glad to be here again this morning with May. You know, May, last night I woke up, I said last night, it was this morning, I think about 1 o'clock. And as I lay there, I began to think about how many good people there is in the world. You know, you'd be surprised how many good people there is. And just like this morning, our neighbor, Ray Warren, Leela gets him up early so he can bring me in his pickup truck, you know, and here we come jotting along in town. We get here. And then there's your Henry McCann that comes and gets you and brings you. And there's the Union Sunday School group at Wheatland that are sending in the stamps. And there's a lady down in Grove, Oklahoma that wants to sew and make things for the children at Marshall. And down in Arkansas, there's a group down there from the Farm Club, and then at Ava, and at Carthage, there's a group. And the American Legion at Fairgrove are helping us out. And the Teamsters Auxiliary of Springfield here. And, oh my, I could go on for I don't know how long, but it can't take that time. This morning, then, we had a letter and a $5 donation from Mrs. Ted Mulkey from Monette, Missouri. Thank you a lot, and God bless you. And that brings me up to what I had thought of something about to saying to you this morning, along with the stamps. Father's Day is our parents' meeting day at Marshall, and we have our meeting there, business meetings and everything. So let's try to make a big one. You know, there's a man up north of in North Missouri who kind of tries to outgo us a little bit down here. He hasn't yet, but he's really going to town, and he had a bunch of dogs. He took those dogs and auctioned them off, and he auctioned I don't know how many of those dogs off. Well, we don't have any auction to do, but that lady this morning sending the $5 just made it possible for me to say what I had on my heart to say. If any of you don't have stamps or would rather send cash, we'd just be tickled to death to get cash any way, any size. I wonder if we could say for Father's Day, kind of make it a go, not don't quit the stamps now, but if we could have some dollars, $2, and we could take fives and tens, I guess, too, couldn't we, May? $10, $5, something like that. Anyway, whatever you feel, the Lord lays it on your heart.
One, if they can't beat it.
That's right. Well, we don't even have to have one, just whatever you feel like you can send. And if you can't send any, God bless you, just the same. So, now then, about 2 weeks from now, isn't that what we plan, May? 2 weeks from now, I'm going to sing?
Yeah, I've talked her into singing a song, and believe me, she can sing.
I intended to sing this time, but our neighbor had the music that I was going to sing, and her son is in the hospital, and I'd like to, this morning, say over in Bird's Hospital to Hazel and Mary, hi there. So that's it for this morning, May. You can have it now.
Yeah. Well, I'm awful glad to have Eula here. Eula's a wonderful gal. And, well, now, I was just talking about poetry, wasn't it? Well, they say poetry will live longer than history. Great sermons are preached in poetry. Stark truths are uttered. Mountains of thundering facts and cool, dripping fountains of comfort. It's a wonderful thing to be a great poet. There are so few, it is a gift, and yet it pays so little in the marts of trade. Poets would starve to death, even the best of them, if they hadn't some other way of livelihood. And yet they say that poetry, as I told you, will live longer than history. Poetry will live on when all the costly baubles and the gold of Ophir are vanished. Since the beginning of poetry, poets have starved in attics of broken hearts because no one bought their fragile wares, which were their very heart's blood. And by the way, just last night, poetry can be funny too. I read two little lines. You men will like them, of course. Sometimes a lot can be said in two lines. It said, women carry little cases designed for making up their faces. I wish they'd find some other kind designed for making up their mind. Now listen to Fred over there. Of course, he would laugh. Wow. Oh, well, all right, that's all right. Let me read one about the man. All right, now, four lines. His campaign speech was loud and long. I am a self-made man, he claimed. A rumbling voice came from the crowd. Said, well, then God can't be blamed. That's a good one. He's a self-made man. Well, you know, by the way, I got a letter, it's nearly time for me to close, from a woman down home. You know, I said recently how I love church bells, and how a woman had written to me to said the same thing. And I wondered if in my dear old church, in my home church town at Galena, was still ringing they're still ringing the dear old bell. And a woman from there wrote me and said, yes, May, your old bell still rings. That was good news to me. I can always hear that bell in my memory. And then, I'll tell you about that some other time. A woman wrote me, I'll tell you though, she said, I think I have time to tell it. She said that, had I ever heard of that superstition, you have, I know, Eula, where they put things in front of a baby sitting on the floor, a little baby, the Bible and different things and money and all, and see which he picks up. No. That's what he'll be.
I never heard that.
Oh, that was as common when I was a girl. And I wish I could remember what all this woman said she'd like. No, they put in, if he picked up the Bible, he might be a preacher. If he took the money, he'd be a financier. He'd like money better than anything else. And they had a bottle of medicine, or just a bottle. And if he picked up the bottle, he'd be a doctor. Well, if any of you remember how many things they put in front of the baby, why, remember to tell me. Our time's up, and I must close, and I'll see you all next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. It's Mother's Day.